You're listening to the Scottish Football Forums podcast, the home of Scottish football banter.
Hi, welcome to the latest episode of Scottish Football Forums podcast. We are at season 13, episode 7. I'm John, and tonight I'm joined by Josh. How you doing?
Good evening, John. How you doing?
Hi, good. Erin was supposed to join us, but supposedly she's some comedy event at Edinburgh at Easter Road. Or the Fringe? Oh, that's the Fringe. So we timed this one nicely. We'd actually asked this guy on before the events of yesterday, so we're recording Monday. We've got Hibs fan who returns from previous appearances. Charlie, how you doing?
I'm all right, mate. Are you looking forward to talking about the disaster case that is Hibs?
Aye. And then we have Celtic fan Michael. You're probably more a regular than some of the regulars these days. I make that joke every time, but you probably are. How you doing, Michael?
Hi, John. Thanks for asking me back, and I'm happy to be here. Until we talk about Celtic, I know Josh has got a big smile on his face. But happy to be back.
It's going to be an interesting one. We've got a time this well. We've got lots of things to talk about. Obviously, as I alluded to, Lee Johnson left Hibs yesterday. We've got the European action, which is in the balance for the ties, which is, well, apart from one. Unless Hibs do something absolutely remarkable. Obviously Rangers Celtic playing this week, whether we want to call it the Old Firm, the Glasgow Derby, whatever we're allowed to call it. So we're going to preview that a wee bit. And then the new feature, the old headline of the week, we'll see if anyone comes up with anything decent. There's been some good ones in the previous weeks. And then we'll kind of touch on a wee bit on the fact the Scotland squad was announced today for the upcoming qualifier against Cyprus, and then the friendly against England. So let's kick off. Charlie, Lee Johnson is gone. The last time you were on, it was just after Hibs had managed to, Goodwin managed to get himself the sack. And at that point, it was classed as a game whereby if Hibs had lost it, Johnson would have probably gone.
Aye.
What we are, 7 months later, three games in the league season, and he's gone. What's your thoughts?
I think it was the right time, to be honest. I think after last season, I think the warning signs were there. You know, we could see how inconsistent Hibs were. Sunderland fans branded him as Streaky Lee, which is 100% true. You know, he goes on this, he'll win four games, then we'll lose seven. I think it was probably three games too late. I think I would have sacked them at the end of the last season. We stumbled to fifth place in the league, and at one point in January, we could have, if we'd got a bit of consistency, finished third comfortably, because Hearts were a basket case, Aberdeen were a basket case, both sacked their managers and finished clear of us. You know, Aberdeen were something like 10 or 12 points off third at one point, and they coasted it. So I'm happy he's away. Obviously, you never like to see anyone lose their job, but I think for Hibs, it's probably the right move. I think you could tell in his interview on Saturday on Sky Sports when they're asking him, will you be here next week? And he's trying to hurry himself out the door. That was it for me. I think that was probably him realising time's up. And the fans, you know, once you lose the fans, you've lost your job, in my opinion. So I'm delighted he's away. I never bought into him at all, as I've said on the podcast before. But it's a worrying time for Hibs, you know, bottom of the league after three games. That's no good.
You touched on the interview after the game. Do you think the reporter was a bit out of order with the question or not?
I think she was in her right to ask it. I think it's probably arrogance for Johnson to try and hurry himself away. But, I mean, the writing was on the wall, I think. But, I mean, you can see it for both sides. I think Johnson probably didn't want to be there. But I also think the interviewer had every right to ask him the question she did.
No worries. Obviously, the kind of new manager situation, so I was looking at it earlier, because I think Hibs are going through managers at an alarming rate now. So in your history, you've had 35 managers, right? This century alone, you've had 15 permanent managers.
It's something like 10 and 5 years or something. It's mental.
And of those 15 managers, only three have managed more than 100 games.
It's worrying. Definitely worrying. But I think, as I said, the past three, the next one has to be right.
Obviously, there's been some names linked. Who would you like out the names that you've seen bandied about?
I think the boy Montgomery at Central Coast Mariners would be one that would pique my interest. Same with Graham Arnold. He was the Australia manager. He was linked today as well. I'd take those two. But I think realistically, we need to look at someone that has experience in the league. I think, you know, you're looking at either Robinson or McInnes there, really. But I think out of those four, if any of them get the job, I'd be happy with it.
It's an interesting one because obviously in terms of like folk that know the league, but I think quite a lot of managers that have been appointed recently know the league, yeah, and they actually haven't done particularly well.
I know that's
I'm thinking the like maybe it's more so than managers. And Josh, you know this from yesterday. We were talking about this a wee bit in our WhatsApp chat, in terms of like experience and whether are the guys experienced enough that are getting these big jobs. I mean, Hibs is a big job in Scotland, and is it a job for the likes of, I don't know. For example, David Gray's in there, maybe going to be in the running, right? Because he's there and he knows the club. Now, it's one of those ones I thought would get behind him and all that because he's a club legend, but does he need to learn his trade elsewhere as a manager?
I think so. I think it might sound harsh, but I would have got rid of David Gray as well. I think, you know, he's been there for the past three management teams and I don't know what he's doing. He's a right-back by trade, and the right-back's our weakest area in the team. So I don't know what he's actually doing. And I think that also comes down to he's doing what the manager's telling him to do, but I just don't see any sign of improvement in the defence, and he's a defender.
Yeah. Do you think that... So I take it then that's what Johnson was alluding to when he said we've got a weak side of the defence.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Easy to come out and say, but that's what he said.
Losing Chris Cadden was massive for us. I think a lot of Hibs fans are a bit 50-50 on Cadden, but he's good defensively and he carries the ball, which we don't really have in the right back just now. Lewis Miller's good going forward, but he's a bit shaky defensively, and that's really your options, or throw a young lad in who's new experience. So I think that's probably the area that needs addressed.
Are you going to come in there, Josh? Say something.
Look, I mean, that's an interesting stat, John, about the amount of Hibs managers. I do think, though, that you probably need to caveat that with the fact that that's the way that modern football is kind of going. I mean, I think about my own team. Rangers have had, 18 managers in their history, 18 people who have managed the club in their history. Nine of them have been this century. So you're talking nine managers for the first 118, 128 years of the club's history. And then, you know, sorry, nine managers were in the first 120 years. And then in the 23 years after that, nine managers. You know, so you're talking, what I'm trying to say is that is the way that modern football is going. You don't get time as a manager anymore. I think Johnson and Charlie, I'd like to get your thoughts on this. I'd like to get your thoughts on quite a few things, but I mean, first, for me, the thing about Johnson, I agree with the idea about, you know, he was a bit of a streaky manager. Always felt as well that Hibs, I didn't really know what he was trying to do with Hibs. You never really knew what the team was going to be like, what the squad was going to be, who was going to be playing. I mean, that game at the weekend, I was absolutely furious because I brought Dylan Venti in for my fantasy football team, and the guys cost them $700,000, which for Hibs is, you know, is the equivalent of Celtic or Rangers spending $5 or $6 million probably, and to bench him at home let's be honest, you can't turn around and say, oh, we're resting them for the European game midweek, because it's a dead rubber. It's pointless, you know. So he's obviously made that for some sort of weird tactical choice. And I think Lee Johnson's is just pure box office for a neutral. But I just think he believes the hype about himself in terms of his own, I don't want to say arrogance, but I think he is a wee bit arrogant. Yeah. I mean, what did you feel about Hibbs's identity and his tactics and all of that during his time?
I think the better phrase is lack of identity. I think when Johnson came in, with the podcast I do myself, we got a chance to chat to him for about an hour and a half, actually. It was a really in-depth conversation. And one of the questions I asked him was, what are you going to bring to Hibs? And he said, I'm going to bring fast flow and attacking football. And we will be on the losing side of a few heavy defeats. Now, I was okay with that at the start, but then when you're going to Celtic Park getting turned over 6-1, you know, you're losing 3-0 to Hearts twice in a month, and you're not laying a glove on them, and then you're getting beat 3-2 off St Mirren, 3-1 off Livingston. Other embarrassing results like the one in Andorra, like, it's just, he didn't have, I just didn't think he had a clue. I think, we beat Livingston 4-0, 4-1, we beat Aberdeen 6-0, but other than that, we were beating teams like 2-1, 2-0. There was no real, we never gave anyone a real hiding when we could have. I think there was games last season where we could have put 5 or 6 past teams. I think he just never stuck with a consistent tactic either. I think he was changing it up every week. He was playing selection bingo, just pulling names out of a hat, similar to what Lennon done towards the end of his time at Hibs. But I think he did believe his hype, like you said. I think he's a very arrogant manager. You'll all have heard the quotes he come out with on the press most weeks, like talking about putting the players in an F1 car for Villa away. Like, what does that even mean?
Box office, mate.
Like, it's box office for the neutral, but like, when I'm reading that, I'm like, what does that, like, what are you trying to convey to the players here that, we all know it's going to be a intimidating atmosphere, but I feel like he could have better coached the players into that. And I just think he also threw the players under the bus far too much for my liking. I remember last season when we beat 3-0 at Hearts, and he's like, there's about 10 or 12 I'd get rid of. Like, that's no screaming to me that players are going to want to play for you if you're saying, I want to get rid of you, you know?
See, on the back of it, Josh was saying about Venti being benched that weekend. I'd seen some kind of people kind of mentioning in social media and different things like that. Part of the problem that, and again, probably this is modern football, it's not the manager that's making all the signings. So was maybe some of these guys that you're signing in the summer, and Ansel signing, someone with a Johnson signing, and Johnson trying to make his point and say, well, I'll play him ahead of him.
Aye. I mean, that's fine and well if you've got a million-pound player playing in front of him, but when you're playing Christian Deutsch up front of him, like, you're off to a loser there. Like, Livingston are a physical team at the back. Like, we all know what Livingston are going to bring to the table every week, but I think when you've got Venti, who's probably the same height as Deutsch, but also he's got 5 yards of pace on him, I think you play your best team every week, and Venti is comfortably the best striker we've got. So it was a bit confusing, and he's rested Hanlon and Stevenson, and we're still shaky at the back. So that shuts up a few people on Twitter that believe they're part of the problem. But it's just, I felt like sometimes it was, he'd press random on Football Manager and hope for the best.
Michael, to bring you in, Charlie had mentioned about managers that are doing well domestically and people that might be in the running for the job. So obviously you're Derek McInnes, you're Stephen Robinson's. You think those guys would be interested in the Hibs job just now if they were approached?
Yeah, but I'm going to chuck in a name the field and I'm waiting for Charlie's will respond, but I can tell by his face. David Martindale at Livingston. I don't know if he's kind of worth a punt as well. I know I said to you earlier on, John, in the WhatsApp chat about that, because I just feel as though that it doesn't get mentioned for bigger jobs, because like in terms of like you know, he's done an okay job at Livingston. I think he's got them in the top six a few times, and did you not get them to the cup final and lockdown the League Cup final? And I'm good thinking, because he would have a bigger budget to play about with at East Grove and a bigger fan base as well. And look, I mean, he beat Celtic once. He made they beat Rangers last season at Ibrox. Okay, they got a point, but it was still a decent point they got. And I guess feel as though he's been in the Scottish game long enough. I mean, he was there with Hopkins and the name escapes me at the moment. But the manager before Debbie Hopkins, I can't remember. But yeah, so he knows the kind of game inside out, and I kind of feel a bit sorry for him because I mean, if you listen to his press conferences every week, what I do for my show, it went from oh yeah, Livingston's a good team, but now it's like, well, we've got no money and stuff, and I just feel as though if he's at a bigger club than Livingston, no offence, because Livingston fans and all that, I just feel as though that it would buy better players and a better system of football. I don't know what Charlie would think of that. I know it's about left field of what I'm saying there, and because of what all the bookies like Malcolm Mackay and all that, but I just feel as though that some gate really should maybe kick a punt in them. I don't know how you feel about that, Charlie.
I think the past twice, Martindale's been up in the bookies as one of the favourites, but I just think you've got to look at the past for him. I think there'd be a lot of baggage you'd carry with him. And the same with Malcolm Mackay, like both of them are probably disregarded in the press for their past. But I think Martindale's done a good job at Livingston. I'm just not sure that Hibs would go down that road. I mean, if they did, he'd obviously get my backing, but he wouldn't be my first choice. But if that's who we did bring in, I think he would make us hard to beat. But I wouldn't, if it was me that was picking the manager, he'd probably be down in my list.
I think Martindale would be, and this is just my opinion, but I think Martindale would be a good signing, a good manager for Hibs. I really like Martindale. I think him and Malky, in terms of the baggage that they bring, they differ in the particular baggage that they do bring. I mean, Martindale has owned his past and has engaged with rehabilitation. It's actually, his story is a really quite an inspiring story, actually. Whereas Malky, less so, because it feels like Malky's never really. I know he's came out and apologised and all that, but for me, it never really feels like he's acknowledged it. I think, I mean, they are, from a, looking at it completely objectively, I think both are good managers, but I do agree. I think you're probably wanting to go somewhere a wee bit outside the box, or outside the usual kind of real managers that are kicking about out of jobs. We were talking about this on our group chat last night, Charlie, and a couple of names were mentioned. But one thing I'd said is that maybe Hibs want to go down the route of finding a manager who has had a number of years' experience, but is maybe willing to take the step up to a bigger job, because Hibs is a big job, and it's a bigger job than maybe most League One clubs in England or League Two clubs in England. I think about somebody like, and I mentioned this to John last night, I think about somebody like Mickey Mellon, who Dundee United brought in. I feel he was a success at Dundee United and then chose of his own volition to go back down south. There must be a few Mickey Mellons kicking about in the lower rungs of English football. Additionally, you've also got a few guys, maybe John Kennedy, maybe Kevin Thompson, guys that have been coaching in Scotland for a number of years now who maybe want the chance. I don't think you should go for a David Gray type
No.
appointment. We've seen that now. We've seen that with Stevie Hamill. We've seen it with Stevie McLean. I know he's still in there. We've seen it with Liam Fox. We've seen it with Barry Robson. Yes, still in there. Jury's out on him though. I don't think that's the kind of route he's wanting to be going down.
Nah, there was one name branded that came up yesterday that if we were to go down that road, I'd be very happy with Darren Moore that was at Sheffield Wednesday.
Good.
Obviously kept him in the league last season and then asked for a wage increase and got the sack. So I would be, or if you believe the media on it, I would be very happy with Darren Moore if he was appointed. Someone that's been about the game has done, you know, Sheffield Wednesday are never really going to be fighting to go up. You know, I think they're a very mid-table championship club and have accepted that. But I'd be happy with him. I think he'd probably bring something different. I look at Darren Ferguson as well at Peterborough. I'd like him. Just someone that's going to bring something different. I think we've tried it with the ex-Hearts person like Jack Ross and Lee Johnson. I don't want to go down that road again. So I'm hopeful that we bring in someone with fresh ideas and fresh vision.
I mean, I guess going back to Joss's point early on, and by the way, this goes for all managers, Celtic, Rangers, Hibs, Hearts, whatever, Aberdeen. I don't feel those old managers get a lot of time now in football. I'm thinking about Robbie Nielsen. Okay, he had a balance spell, right, three or four difficult results, and then he was out the door. Can't compare to I might think that an old guy here, but like 5 years ago, you would never see a manager getting sacked after four or five games. But I mean, going back to Charlie's point about the sacking was a bit funny for me because we're only in four games of the new season and they sack already. I mean, surely if you were going to sack him before the end of last season. You know, and don't wait until a new season. And the thing I'm worried, what I was saying yesterday on my show, and we were talking about Johnson getting sacked because we were on there yesterday. I feel that the sacking is very weird for me because by the time you get a new manager in, you won't see any new players because the window will shut on, what is it, Friday, Thursday? Oh no, I think it's Thursday. So right away, sorry, John.
Sorry, Michael, just saying it's Friday because we've got the European games on Thursday.
And the thing was, if you're getting a new manager, it's not his team, it's still Lee Johnson's team. So I guess think that whole thing a bit baffling as well. But one thing I wanted to ask Charlie was, I know and George was saying that last week it's late, a dead rubber going down to Birmingham, apart from a couple of nightclubs I would stay down there. But like, what I was going to say was, if Hibs get beat, and we all know Hibs were going to be up against it, but say the final score was you get beat 3-1 and put in a better performance, I don't know about you, but I don't think Lee Johnson would get sacked. I think he would still be in the job.
I think if we'd got at least 3 points on the board, he'd probably still be in post. And I think as well, beating Luzerne probably bottom, well, only a week, but you look like that start, no offence to St Mirren, Motherwell or Livingston, but Hibs should be taking at least 6 or 9 points there. Like, we should not be losing all three. And I think that's really why he got sacked. Like, St Johnstone have scored less goals than us in this league and are above us on the table. Like, we shouldn't be in this position. And I think, like I say, if he'd got at least 3 points, he'd still be there. But it's just, I think, society, like, you never want to see anyone lose their job. Like, regardless of the work you do, you never want to see anyone lose their job. But I think that was probably the right time. And I think he done all right. He progressed us from the season before, but it was just barking up the wrong tree by the end there.
It's the manner of the defeats as well, though, domestically. It's not even as if any of the games you're really in with a chance. Opening game, you're down 2-0 at half-time, end up losing 3-2. The second game, Motherwell win 2-1, but you only scored a consolation goal in the 94th minute of penalty. And then Saturday
we score
3-1 down.
Aye, we score, then St Mirren run up the park and score on Saturday, and a minute later Livy have scored. So it's the same goal we're losing every week. Like, that right hand side, put it across the box, you're scoring. Aston Villa done it three times last week. They'll probably do it another three on Thursday night, and I dread to think what Aberdeen will do to us on Sunday, but John, you'll probably have a different opinion on that.
I think, to be honest, I think it probably is the league form. It is the league form that has done it for him. I mean, I don't think Hibs, Carlo Ancelotti could be managing Hibs against Aston Villa. I don't think he's going to get any chance of winning that tie, the Easter Road tie on Thursday night, wasn't it? So I think you've got to take that in the isolation. Yeah. The league form, albeit only three games, has been terrible. But you know, you've got to do your business there. I mean, look at Motherwell, right? Motherwell sacked their manager very early into the season last year, brought a manager in. It didn't work for 4 or 5 months, and then but because they'd done it early, they had enough time. So I can't remember, John. You'll remember when they actually finally got rid of Stevie Hamill. They brought Stuart Kettlewell in. But you know, I think he'd maybe come in about March or something like that, but which was plenty of time for him to you know. So for example, if Hibs were to bring in a manager you know, next week, then they would get enough time of the season to see, right, is this guy going to be a success or not? And if he's not, then if Hibs are still sitting kind of near the relegation places towards the end of the season, they've got the chance to go again with a new manager. Let me put a name out to you, Charlie, and John. John will probably can predict who I'm going to say here. Mark Fotheringham.
It's never one that's crossed my mind, but I know he done well in Germany.
Yeah,
I think my mate Jack is a big German football fan, and he said that we should be looking down the German football route. I have no clue other than who's at Thomas Tuchel, who manages in Germany. Like, it's not my league that I follow, but I think there probably is a like Mark Fotheringham or even like someone in the second division in Germany that could come in and do all right at Hibs. Like, that's what I mean. Like, I'd like a fresh idea. Maybe a league
outside the box,
never been managed. Like, there's surely not that many managers in Germany that have managed in Scotland. So I would take that if that was an option.
See on the back of that, so Gogsy sits on Twitter and asks, what's the criteria for a new Hibs boss? Is it steady but boring or entertaining but consistent?
Steady but boring, 100%. That's why I'm a big fan of McInnes. I think, John, you'll know better than me, but he was at Aberdeen, what, 10, 11 years?
It must have been about 8 years.
And you had, what, one bad season while he was there? Like, consistently, you were... Obviously, I'm a
fan of McInnes.
You look at who was in the league for a couple of them, like no Rangers, Celtic, no Rangers, Hibs or Hearts, but he had you consistently up the top end of the table. There was games where Aberdeen came to Easter Road, and I'm like, Aberdeen are comfortably the worst team in the league to watch, but they've beat us 3-0. So I think I'd 100% take someone that plays boring football, a bit like Jack Ross did, but is consistent.
Yeah. I mean, but is that, in terms of like at Hibs, I think I associate Hibs with like wanting, or the fans wanting, this attacking style of football that's going to blow everything apart. But sometimes you need to be realistic now, and I'll end up contradicting myself maybe later on. I think there's a case of getting kind of balance right now. I think at Hibs and Aberdeen, the Hearts, and they all seem to be looking to play quite similar ways. These teams, especially when they're playing at home, they should be on the front foot.
Yep.
Right, you worry about our game, we're going to have a go at you. Maybe away from home, you slightly adapt, but I still think they should be having more than the ball. The players Hibs have got, and we spoke about this at the start of the season, there's no way Hibs should be down at the bottom at this point. The attacking options you've got, there was a bit of excitement, the fact Martin Boyle was coming back from injury. The second half of last season, Ewan looked a right good player. We know he's consistent. But then the players that were coming in, we looked at Levitt coming in, giving an extra option in midfield. The players that you've got there already, the likes of Joe Newell, I think he's a cracking player. I really like Joe Newell as a player. And then I still think the defence needs addressed. I know there was a lot of excitement about Fish coming in, but I don't think it's just Fish that's the problem. No. You've alluded to the fact the right back.
The goalkeeping area needs to address big time.
Yeah.
I think Marshall, when he came in last season, there was a lot of buzz about the place, like, oh, he's played in the Euros, he's had a very good career. But it's the same goal he's conceding every week. Like, he's not commanding his box. He's not coming out for headed shots. He's just standing on his line. He got injured on Saturday, which could be a good thing, but we're then having to play Artur Boric's wee cousin. So I'm sure if he's in goals at Ibrox, he'll endear himself to the Hibs fans. But I think we should have, and I've taken a battering for this among my friend group. We should have bought Xander Clark last summer. Someone like that who consistent every single week. Or brought Marciano back in the summer who went back home for family reasons. But we should be signing somebody that's going to be better than Marshall. I've not seen enough of Wallacott because he's been injured for most of the time he's been here to say if he'll be an upgrade. But I think that's the area and right back. Actually, the whole defence that worries me at Hibs every single week.
There's obviously Harlan and Stevenson, much of them being good servants for the club. They are at the kind of the tail end of their careers. And I don't think really much competition for Stevenson as well, because I beat him much as he's been playing left back sometimes. He's more of an advanced player, isn't he?
He's more of a left wing back in a 4-4-2, which or 4-3-3, wherever we play. But he's good going forward, but again, shaky at the back.
I was just going to say, Charlie, obviously when David Marshall came in, the Hibs fans were like, brilliant, we think you're a top class goalkeeper, and obviously we know what he done for the national team in that penalty shootout that I'm sure Josh was at that game as well. But do you know, feel as though David Marshall was past his best?
Oh, we should have brought him in 5-10 years ago. I think that would be when we've seen the best of him, but he's past it now. I think hopefully this is his last season. That's no disrespect to Marshall at all. He's had a fantastic career, but I think at a club like Hibs, you've got it's rich me saying that when there's a Celtic and Rangers fan on the podcast, but Hibs, Hearts, Aberdeen, we've all got standards we want to set as a club. Like, we know we're not going to win the league, but we want to be best of the rest. So it's just one of those ones. We need to replace a good 6 or 7 positions in the team, I would say.
McInnes also mentioned, and Robinson has been mentioned as well. Would you take Robinson? You like Robinson as a manager?
I think he's doing all right at St Mirren. I think I can't remember. He's been linked with Hibs before. I think when Heckey left 3 years ago, he was linked then. He was linked Hibs and Hearts when we were both looking for new managers. So I would take him. I think he's obviously got baggage. I think you'll remember the story in the press. But I think I look at what he's done with St Mirren. Like, he got them, was that their first ever top 6 finish last season? He's brought in players like Bacchus and he's made them great. Like, Mark O'Hara, I would say, would walk into any team in Scotland. I think he's a fantastic midfielder. So I would take him. Ryan Strain as well, good right back. That would solve that problem.
I definitely would. In terms of the other swap we got, I mean, I don't know why Neil Lennon's favourite, because surely Neil Lennon would not be going back to Hibs.
No, that's hopefully just media talk. I hope he doesn't come back.
Out of the other names that have been quoted just now, I look at it and I just look at when Aberdeen job was available, it's the same kind of names.
Yeah.
Danny Cowley has been linked to Aberdeen numerous times.
I'd take him.
Stevie Evans.
Nah, no thanks.
Chris Wilder.
I'd take him, but he's a Hearts fan, so we can forget that.
Scott Brown's obviously been mentioned. I think Scott Brown still needs to kind of learn the management role. And
I think it's too early for him,
a wee bit.
Far too early for Scott Brown.
Yeah.
The one that was a wee bit kind of maybe left field, but he's someone that's been at a club for a while, Stephen Bradley at Shamrock Rovers.
I'd take him. Some of my Hibs mates are big in Irish football, and they tipped him before Johnson, so I'd take him.
I think it's too early for Scott Brown, Charlie, right? But I mean, maybe if you brought him in as a coach, would you take him then? But too early for manager.
I'd take him as a coach, but I'm not sure he would leave a manager's job to be a bit like on the flip. Would John Kennedy leave an assistant's job to be a manager? You know, he's got a cushy job at Celtic. Could have went to Spurs, but obviously stayed where he was. But I think I'd take John Kennedy as the assistant for whoever's coming in. If that was him, if he was up for that.
It'll be interesting, but disregard the European game, obviously next weekend you've got Aberdeen, and I just know what's going to happen. We're not particularly great so far this season, but we shall see what happens. Maybe by next week, you think you'll have a manager, or do you think it'll be really quick? Do you think they've got someone in mind already?
I think they've got someone in mind, but the statement yesterday on the website said that David Gray and whoever, it's Stuart Gardner and Darren McGregor, will be there for the Villa and Aberdeen game. So I think we'll probably see someone in for the Killie game the 2 weeks after.
Aye. Which, as Michael says, it probably means that there'll be no more players coming in before the transfer window ends.
There's apparently talks we're in for a right-back for Ireland and an attacking midfielder, but again, it goes back to the point someone made that it's Johnson's team. Like, the new manager's going to need to be given some grace over the... up until January, at least. Like, it's Johnson's team. If he can get some results strung together, great. If not, then we're going to have a big rebuild in January, which is never an easy month to bring players in.
Oh, definitely not. Right, we'll move on to European action. Obviously, clubs were in Europe last week. Josh, you were at Rangers PSV. 2-2, a repeat of what happened last year in the first leg. What were your thoughts in the game?
Yeah, the game was... it was an interesting game. I didn't think... PSV are better than they were last year. That's definite. They're fast. They've got a lot of good players in their team. You know, before the game kicked off, when the team was getting announced and they were reading out the players, I was thinking, oh, fuck. You know, I'm thinking about all the players. Sangare, centre, mid, Veerman, and the boy Tetsy, you know, Noah Lang. Luke de Jong, lot of good quality in that team. So they're better than they were last year. But I didn't think, I thought we were exceptionally good, albeit we conceded two goals, but I thought we were exceptionally good on the night defensively. Beals teams, they seem to be really good off the ball, really structured, really kind of good shape about them. I mean, apart from one moment of defensive lapse into John Souter, it could have finished 2-1. 2-2, with hindsight, you know, 2-2 probably was a fair reflection of the game. I think we probably let ourselves down. We missed a huge opportunity to take something over there to Eindhoven. So 2-2 on balance was probably fair when you're analysing the game. But as a fan, it felt like, you know, we could have took more. You know, we could have took 2-1 over there or 1-0. All we play for, and I get, you know, it's the exact same situation as last year. You know, we took 2-2 at home, went over there, and we beat them to qualify for the Champions League. So, be interesting to see what happens this week. We'll see. I was a wee bit, because at the start of last season, I was more convinced by Gio's pedigree at the start of last season, for obvious reasons, than I am about the team this season. Team's still gelling together, but they are looking better. You know, some of the football was lovely. That I thought Dessers was actually very good on the night. And a lot of the team are really coming into themselves now. But it's going to take time. Still not been massively impressed with Lammers when it went to see. Seema, who scored the goal to make it 1-0, was getting absolute dog's abuse for the full first half of the fans. So, yeah, still plenty of room to improve, but we'll see how it goes this week.
I think Charlie had a question there that you wanted to ask.
I've got two questions. First, did you see the performance from Matondo come in? I know a lot of Rangers fans last season were slating him, and I think he played at Easter Road the start of last season. I've definitely seen him play against Hibs, and I think he's ripped us apart every time. So do you think he's maybe trying to stake a claim for first team action?
Oh, yeah, I mean, he is. One thing I didn't actually fully appreciate, apparently he played a lot of last season carrying an injury. Bill mentioned that in one of his press conferences. So whether or not that's, you know, whether that's an explanation or not, I don't know. One thing about him I would say is he has a good touch, and he's obviously lightning fast, but I just think his decision making at times is really frustrating. However, he is a left winger and he never played left wing once last season because that was Kent's position. And well, to my recollection, he never played once left wing last season. So who knows? Maybe we have a different player completely on our hands now. He's on a long term deal and it doesn't look like MD's going to want to buy him right now. So we may as well try and get the best out of him.
Aye, and obviously, not trying to add salt to the wounds, but obviously last season for Rangers was totally embarrassing in the Champions League. I'm a Liverpool fan, so I took great delight in that 7-1 at Ibrox. But do you think this season would be different in terms of not finishing fourth in the group, perhaps getting a third to go down to Europa League? Or do you think you'll fare a wee bit better? Or do you think with the new players coming in, you'll actually be more resilient in the Champions League this season?
It's hard to say. I mean, look, we've got to get there first. Like, you're right, last season was an embarrassment. But let's not remember, that was an absolute group of death, right? Yeah. It really, really was. You know, your Ajax, who, you know, you need no introduction. You've got Napoli, who, one of the best teams in Europe last season. And you had Liverpool, right?
Right.
You know, so it was embarrassing to get beat in quite the manner we did and finish, you know, the worst kind of goal difference ever in the Champions League. But by the way, I personally believe that's not a record we'll hold for long.
No.
Because the way that football is going, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And you're going to end up in a scenario where you're going to see teams literally in there to make up the numbers. And that's directly as a result of financial deregulation of football right across Europe, but also the fact that UEFA are trying to make the Champions League an exclusive club only to the richest leagues and only to the richest clubs. So, yeah, I do think it would probably be different this year, though. I think it probably was a one-off. I mean, Celtic were in the Champions League, didn't do much better, but acquitted themselves a wee bit better, I would say, but ultimately still bombed it.
Yep.
So I think finishing third would be a decent finishing the group stage Champions League, considering it's a new team, considering it's a new manager. So that would be decent. But if we go into the Champions League this year, I wouldn't be surprised if we finished fourth. I do think that this time we would at least, I'm not going to say take points off our teams and get, you know, get wins and all that, but I think we would equip ourselves a lot better.
Yeah.
You buy into the whole thing. I mean, Aaron was talking about this, about Aberdeen, that you'd be better off in the Conference League because you've got a better chance of doing well. Do you buy into the fact that you'd be better off being in the Europa League because you'd have more chance of getting some decent results? Or the Champions League is a place to be, even if you were going to end up embarrassing yourselves? The players want to play against the best players, I think.
I mean, I'm just saying this because it's Aberdeen and it's Erin, right? But I think that's a complete loser's mentality, right? I mean, you know, you want to be on the top stage, you want to play in the top league, you want to play at the top, top level, right? And that's what the Champions League is. It's the biggest club competition in the world. We played in the Europa League for, you know, 3 or 4 years running under Gerrard. Eventually, under Gio, we actually reached the final, you know. Don't get me wrong, if it's group stages Champions League or it's reaching a Europa League final again, then I'm taking Europa League final, right? But those things come around once in a lifetime.
Yeah.
Actually, in my case, twice in a lifetime. So, I do think Champions League, but granted, for Aberdeen, it's different because I think, well, I mean, you've seen how humiliated Rangers got last season in the Champions League. God, you stuck Aberdeen in there.
I know, I disagreed with that. I say, like, you want to be playing in the best competition you can.
Yeah,
even if it does, and the players want to be down there. Plus, it helps attract players if you're saying, look, last year we were doing this, that, there.
And
you never know.
John, let's be fucking pragmatic about this. The money you bring in for Champions League, it's non-comparable.
You spoke about being impressed by Rangers off the ball. Someone that I know was getting a fair bit of praise for his work rate off the ball as opposed to his usual attacking was Todd Cantwell, showing a different side to his game, getting stuck in, getting involved.
But the thing is that's not him showing. That's it was the showing a different side of his game against PSV. It's just that's the when he arrived. I think everybody thought it was going to be this wee fairy that come in and darted around and done the TikTok dances and you know wore the Alice band in his hair. I've been absolutely amazed since Todd Cantwell came in January, just how robust a footballer he is. He can play in the number 8. He can play in the 10. You know, he's got skills. He can play on the wing. He's got footwork. He's got skills, but he's got work ethic and he can take the knocks and he runs and he runs and he runs. He's got some engine on him. He is a total footballer. He really, really is. But he's absolutely vital for us at the moment. If he gets injured, then Rangers are not going to be bothered. We've still got a lot of good players, but he would be a huge miss if he got injured.
Michael, have you got any thoughts?
Yeah, no, I was just going to like, be on the back of the Hibs asking for the games or the Charlie, and I was having this conversation with my mate the other day, but like if Celtic or Rangers had to play Aston Villa, say, in the Champions League fantasy football now, all right, we would still get beat because they're a far better team with far bigger budgets and all that. But I think it would have been a tighter game. Josh, what would you say to that?
Oh, yeah, I mean, obviously it would have been a tighter game, but that's pedigree, isn't it? It's not speaking derogatorily about Hibs. To say that Rangers and Celtic have a higher pedigree. You know, our expectation each year is for the clubs to be at least pushing to qualify for the Champions League. And the turnover in revenue is a lot higher than that of that Hibs have at their disposal. So it's a gimme, albeit, you know, Aston Villa, his manager's won like 4 Europa Leagues or 4 European titles. So, you know, ridiculous pedigree. It's probably the hardest draw that Hibs could have got.
As all the Rangers fans, including you, Joss, are they going to buy into Michael Beale's kind of style of football? Because I'm not going to say this from a Celtic point of view, by the way, but I've yet to see Rangers playing a decent game of football for 90 minutes, apart from last week's game against PSG, because obviously it's, you know, 45 minutes, first half, second half. But we're usually seeing Rangers playing brilliant football for 90 minutes or 95 minutes. Do you think that's going to come from Michael Beale's team?
Yeah, I think it is. I do trust Beale. I trust the process that's undergoing at the club. I'm seeing the improvements each week in the games and the players. You know, I said earlier about Dessers, who I thought he's coming on now. It's taking time, but I think slowly we are getting there. And I agree with you, we've no had a complete 90 minutes apart from the PSV game. We've no had a complete 90 minutes
and,
in the league yet.
And every time you've played Easter Road.
It's a tough place for us to go. We do struggle at Easter Road. We struggle at probably one of the grounds we really do struggle at. Ironically, we find it quite easy when we go to Tynecastle. It'll be interesting. I mean, we'll come on to the Old Firm, but I think if we are to take the 3 points this Sunday, I think that really could light a match underneath this team.
Well, I'll come on to it. Right, before we kind of talk about the other European games, then can Rangers repeat what they did last year, go overtime, find over and win and progress? Charlie, what do you think?
I think so. I think it all depends on what Rangers turn up. But I think from an outsider looking in, I think Rangers look a lot better this season than they did last season. And I'll put my neck on the line and say I think they'll win the league. So I think they'll get past them.
Yeah. Winning the league as well this year. Okay, Michael, what do you think? You think Rangers will get through?
Well, that's Charlie off my Christmas card list. I was going to email you anyway. It would be brilliant for Rangers to get in the Champions League with Celtic and also the other teams will come on to in a minute. I think they'll just sneak past, but it'll be a very difficult game.
Right, okay. Very nice, very nice. And Josh, confident that they'll get through?
Depends what Rangers turn up and depends what PSV turn up. Because I'm no PSV are a very good footballing team. They are fast, athletic, a lot of quality in their side. Make no mistake, this is a tough, tough game tomorrow night. And by the way, we're talking about the Champions League and we're talking about disparity in financial and all that, right? What the fucking hell are PSV Eindhoven and Rangers Football Club doing in a playoff round to get into the Champions League? It's absolutely ridiculous, man. Two absolute footballing institutions that can't even, one of them is not guaranteed to get into the Champions League. It's absolutely ridiculous.
It's going to get worse as well. So,
John, I was just going to say, I know this is a Scottish football podcast, but and you can prove this back to me in 2 years if I'm wrong or not. But mark my words that I say the team will get into the Champions League next season. They'll buy their way in, and on the first season, a team will win it from Saudi. There you go.
well, there's already moves kind of in place for that. I think there's little doubt that. We know what football's like. The breakaway before when they were trying to do the European Super League football and these big footballing clubs have got no morals. But dare I say it, if Celtic and Rangers were invited to that party, they would be jumping ship as well. Because it's money. It's money talks, unfortunately. I think, would you agree with that, Josh Michael? If Celtic and Rangers were invited to that type of thing,
Well,
they wouldn't, I don't even hesitate.
and leave the Scottish Premiership.
See if that much as the European League's been knocked back at the moment,
The Super League thing.
Super League thing, that type of thing, I think will eventually happen.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, you're having a different discussion there, because so I don't think we'll ever get a scenario where Rangers or Celtic would actually want to leave the Scottish Premiership. I just don't think that'll ever happen. And I hope it never happens. But I mean, depends how, because UEFA are going hell for leather trying to satisfy the Super League clubs. And like Michael's saying, money talks. So you'll get the Saudis. They'll come in to the they'll come into the UEFA league this year, and you know, the lot everybody will be wearing their pink and rainbow laces and all that push, and then they'll invite the Saudi Arabians who are massacring people in places like Yemen. But I'm sorry, I'm getting off topic onto question time here. But what was the point? Sorry,
If Celtic and Rangers were invited to that type of thing, they would be gone.
yeah, I mean. But the thing is, they wouldn't get invited.
But
So,
if
you know, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, there will be a format. There will be a format that UEFA will work around, and it'll be really exclusive, and it'll be really, really hard to get into and qualify for. But I don't see. I mean, Rangers will do when they get invited anyway, so it's a moot point.
You never know, you never know. Right, move on to the other side of Edinburgh. Hearts had a tricky tie against PLK. Lost the first leg, 1-2, then they go over to Greece. Thoughts on the game, Hearts' performance in Europe under Frankie McAvoy? Charlie?
listen, they've done well. I thought Rosenborg would have tucked them away comfortably, but they done well to win that. I think they matched PAOK, or however you say it. I think they matched them. I think, as much as it pains me to say it, I think they'll get through. But they've done the right thing after last season. They've strengthened where they need to strengthen for Europe. And they looked all right in Europe last season. I think they got two wins, which for a Scottish team in the group stages was usually pretty hard to come by. So they've done all right. And obviously they missed out on Europa League. But I think for Hearts, And Hibs probably Conference League is, I know it's a bit of a loser's mentality, but I don't think we could probably compete in the Europa League just now. I think Aberdeen probably would struggle if they got through, but aye, I think they've done all right this season. Obviously, as a Hibs fan, I hope they go out, but aye, I think they'll probably get through.
They'll get through. Michael, you're catching in the Hearts game.
I think it was Frank McAvoy. He was a manager last week. I think it's Stephen Naismith this week taking Ina Mina Minamo. By the way, that's a joke. But there could be a bit of cliff in there, as Charlie might back me up there. Yeah, I mean, Hearts played well last week. I mean, I think they might run a bit short over there just because of the heat element as well. Over in Greece, but I mean, it's going to be a hard task for Hearts, because I mean, they've out 1-0. What was it? And a minute later, they make a stupid mistake, and it was 1-8. You can't do that in European football, or sort of doing it in, you know, domestic football against Ross County teams like that. But when you come up against teams in Europe, it's a different kind of ball game. You know, I hope they go through, but it's going to be an uphill struggle. That's why I always prefer the Scottish teams to be at home in the second leg, so that you know what to do. A bit like Rangers on Wednesday night, obviously when they're away to PSV. But yeah, I mean, I think I'm a bit like what I was saying with Rangers. I think they'll get sneaked through by the skin of their teeth. But it's going to be a bit difficult. But I was going to ask you a question later on, John, about Aberdeen. If they get through as well, how will they cope first day Sunday? And because obviously Hearts has been there, they've done it. And obviously if they get through this season, they'll play first day Sunday as well. But I guess feel as though Hearts has been there, done it, got the T-shirt. I used to play in first game Sunday. I don't know if that's going to be a big jump for Bradley Robson and you guys up at Aberdeen. But, yeah, I mean, good luck to Hearts in first game. But, they'll be up against it.
I'll come on to that question. We're going to talk about Aberdeen, certainly. Aye, Michael. It's a good point. Josh, what do you think in terms of Hearts? Do you think you'll get a job over in Greece done in terms of getting into the stages?
It's going to be really difficult for them. The thing about Hearts this season is they have looked good in spells, but I don't really feel like I know what their identity is. I don't really know what kind of team they are, and the manager situation is confusing. And there's been talk of, like, that Naismith is actually the manager and Frankie McAvoy is just, like, the front man for Europe because of this whole kind of UEFA rule way for Naismith. But it makes things really awkward, I think. It is like, I mean, so many folk have made a joke about it. It is like the chewing the fat sketch with the two managers, you know. So I don't know as much. They have gave themselves a bit of a lifeline with the goal with taking the 2-1 over there rather than getting beat.
They did get beat.
Rather than getting beat to nil. So they have gave themselves a chance, albeit a chance, but, you know, Pauk, by all measure, I think Pauk's quite an intimidating place to go. Their fans are fucking mental. It's got to be a difficult away day for them, but hey, I mean, at least the Hearts fans will get to enjoy a bit of the Greek sun.
Yeah. I think they'll struggle. I think the big thing for Hearts is still, and I know folk have been saying about their defence, maybe not being up to scratch at the moment, but in midfield, they kind of keep guys fit. Likes of Heron and Bainemi are both really good players, but they kind of get fit. So they're basically relying on Devlin in the midfield. And then last midweek, they're having to play Cochrane in the middle of the park, who's obviously a left back or left wing back. I don't know whether maybe going over there, did they play Halliday in midfield? He's someone that has played in there before. He's got experience of playing kind of big games, or does Halliday someone that maybe they're trying to get shift on and get rid of? And whether that's maybe because of his media duties in terms of the stuff he does with Open Goal, I don't know. But it could be a possibility that they maybe see that he's a bit distracted by that, as opposed to the stuff on the pitch. But I don't think Hearts will get through that. I can't see it, unfortunately. So, aye. But good luck to them. Aye, we'll move on to Aberdeen. So we don't have Erin here this week to chat about Aberdeen, so I'll need to get my Aberdeen hat on, as opposed to trying to be as neutral as I can. So, Michael, you'd asked a question about the Thursday-Sunday thing. Based on the performance yesterday, because we're going to kind of run in the weekend, that's wee bit. I think we'll struggle with the squad we have just now. I don't think the squad has enough depth to it. Whether it could change by the time the window closes, because I think there's talk of maybe another kind of three or four players coming in. Possibility, but I think for any Scottish club outside Rangers and Celtic, and maybe even Rangers and Celtic themselves, playing midweek, then playing the Sunday or whatever it is difficult. I mean, if you're getting maybe just, say you're getting two or three injury suspensions straight away, you're struggling because we don't have the quality. Say it was like Aberdeen, Miovski injured. Miovski, I'll say Miovski, Shinny, and one of our centre backs straight away. I'd be extremely worried. However, Hearts coped all right with it to an extent, but that's purely for the fact that no team could show any kind of consistency to pull away in third, and we saw that even kind of going into the kind of latter stages of the season. So I would see going to the game on Thursday. First half was a kind of tough watch. I thought Hakim were a pretty good side. They played with kind of two wide players, Sadiq and Lowney, who were both really good, really nippy. I think we get caught out by the fact again we were playing the full backs in the centre back area, with Devlin and McKenzie. First half, obviously, all we kind of really offered was Duke was kind of lively at times, but Duke's not really been totally on the pace this season as yet. My hope is that he's not been distracted by some of the kind of transfer talk that was in the summer, and I guess what we get 4 days to see what happens. I hope that he can obviously stays. However, second half, in particular last half hour, Miovski showed the kind of quality that he has. It wasn't just the goal that he scored. He kind of managed to kind of create. He managed to also as well end up getting one of our players sent off. So Miovski potentially is maybe our key player, I think. A lot of people talk about Duke, but Miovski's more than just a goal scorer. I don't know whether clubs, other teams see that in Miovski. I think they see Duke and they see the physical, the way he is physically and the way that he kind of maybe pulls defenders into areas they don't want to be in. Miovski's got a lot of quality off the ball as well, which I don't know from, like, say, you guys watching him, what you think of Miovski. Any of you can come in on that one.
Yeah, Miovski's a bit of an enigma, to be honest. There is obviously is a player there, a goal scorer. But he's never struck me as a player that has any discernible attributes. He's never. I mean, I think about players like that have got a lot of pace. I don't think he's a lot of pace. He's not. Doesn't strike me as he's never really struck me as someone who's particularly good at holding the ball. He's not overly big. I don't know if his positioning's great, but he seems to score goals. So at the end of the day, he's a striker and that's all you want. How many goals did he get last season? Was it 15, wasn't it?
18.
18. So yeah. There's a player in there, and I mean, see if he scores those kind of numbers again this season, then you're laughing. You've got a top striker in your hands, you know. But I mean, Aberdeen had, I think about, somebody like Adam Rooney that Aberdeen had for years scored goals after goals after goals, and then went absolutely nowhere with his career. I'm not saying that Melsey is going to be the same as that, but what I'm saying is that I think Aberdeen have had a tendency not to sell at the right time. And I think if Mayovsky has another good season, if he gets some goals in Europe, maybe if Aberdeen get into Europe, which I think they've got every chance of, by the way, then I think they probably need, you know, think about capitalising if the bids come forth for them.
I disagree with that, because we've done well in terms of where we've sold Cosgrove, Ferguson, McKenna, Ramsey. So I think in recent seasons, I think we've done really well actually getting players sold on. And the strategy now, certainly by signing these players from whether it's Eastern Europe, is to buy them relatively cheap and then sell them on. That's the way it's going to be.
McKenna wasn't a good sale, John. He wasn't. How much he's got to get from it? 1.9 million? And he's turned it down.
That was, I think, paper talk, I think. I think it was Aston Villa, if I remember correctly, wanted him on loan with no obligation to buy. So that wasn't a good deal for Aberdeen.
I'm taking your word for that. I mean, it might have been paper talk. But I do think that, I mean, you know, in the end, I think McKenna went for a lot less than Aberdeen really should have got for him. Good money for Ramsey. That was a good bit of business for the springing through a young boy like that. And what was the other one you mentioned there?
Cosgrove.
Ferguson was good. Cosgrove was good, considering the fact that Cosgrove's done fucking nothing since.
Yeah.
So that was a good bit of business. Fair enough. You've made it right. You've made a couple of good bits, but I'm thinking Aberdeen have just never really. I think Aberdeen could be better at selling their assets. You know, for example, I do think that Hibs have been good at that in over the years. I think the Hibs have been good at selling their top assets at the right time for the right price.
I agree, but the money went to nothing. Like, it went straight into Rod Petrie's pocket. Like, if we'd capitalised on that, we could have been a lot higher in the league than we should have been. But, you're right. Like, we've made, what, 3 million for Doig? We're going to make, go for double that, maybe triple that. Riordan, O'Connor, Brown, all these players that came through it. You're right. At the right time, we sold them. Should have done a lot more with the money. But I think, John, I think the one that I'm most excited about for Aberdeen coming in again is Leighton Clarkson. I think he's a superb player. Like, you got him for a good price as well, so you'll make that back and then some for him.
Aye. The thing with Clarkson, though, is at the moment, it's not his fault, but the style of play that we're playing under Robson, it's very direct. So he's not getting to see much of the ball. That's something that I think needs to change. And I'm a bit undecided on Robson. I kind of like him, but I think he needs to be a bit more flexible in his approach. Any kind of changes that he makes as well, it's just plan A getting changed for a different plan A in terms of personnel. Hopefully Thursday's game will have taught him the fact that Jaden Morris and Ryan Duncan can't play as wing-backs. We've got wing-backs at the club. We've now got players kind of coming back to fitness. So when Devlin switched to right wing-back, his goal was tremendous. The run that he made for it, he obviously just made a pass. And then Devlin kind of dinks over the keeper. So having him in his right position is key. Seems to be very well liked by the fans so far as well, Devlin. A kind of leader, yep. Born winner, obviously at Livingston he was captain. McGarry on the other side that came in. You're talking about Montgomery earlier. He obviously came from Central Coast Mariners. I haven't seen him. It's not a league I've watched, the A-League, but he looks nippy, he looks quick, he looks good in the ball, wants to get forward. So I think he kind of looks like he's going to be a kind of really good addition. And now we've got McDonald back to fitness. We've obviously signed this boy, Richard Jensen, Finnish international from this Polish club, left-sided centre-back, which is good because Scales obviously is not going to be coming to the Aberdeen. So if we can get these players all available and fit and mix it up a wee bit more, I think that's what we need to do.
Jink Anthony Stewart's got a future at Aberdeen?
Definitely not, because the fact that McKenzie and Devlin are playing ahead of him when they're not natural centre-backs, Stewart's just been on the bench for the fact that he's just
and that, was that Is Rubizic a centre back as well? That other aye.
Centre back. It's early on to see what he's going to be like. He doesn't look like he's going to be a kind of ball playing defender. I don't know whether maybe Jensen might be that player, because that's what we need. We need someone in defence that can maybe bring the ball out of defence, because McDonald's and Rubisic aren't going to do that. So maybe that will help our style of play and maybe bring it into midfield and get the midfield involved more. Take a wee bit of pressure off them. McGrath looked good when he came off the bench. He actually kind of managed to kind of press and kind of win the ball for first goal. Should be a decent addition. I still think we need a bit more in there than the midfield.
John, I was just going to say, Graeme Shinnie came back to Aberdeen. Do you think he's the same player as the first time? And do you think it was because Gusto basically shut up the fans, keep bringing him back?
I think Shinnie, in terms of the kind of type of player he is, he's kind of box-to-box kind of player. He kind of gets stuck in, gets involved. I think he needs more help than the rest of the midfield. He's missing Ramadani, I would say, at the moment. I think the balance of the midfield isn't kind of quite right, and that's where we still need at least one other option. Conor Barron looks like he's well out of the picture. He's obviously on the bench, but when he first broke through, looked like he was going to be a right good player. There was speculation about him getting moved to Celtic, and all. I don't know whether his head was turned, and then he thought, I'm better than Aberdeen, or I can get a move away for big money. It's a weird one with Barron. I don't know.
What about the boy Paul Vara that went to America? Is he, do you think he's staked a claim? He's played almost every game this season, from what I can see.
He looks all right. I don't think he's good enough at the moment to be a starter. I think he's an option in the squad. I think that's kind of fair enough. But I kind of probably kind of jury's out on him. There's talk up front, we're going to be bringing in our striker, this boy Suari from Kortrijk, I think. Belgium, physical striker. I think before last season. So I think at the start of last season, I think he was getting linked by most of about £2 million. We're managing to get him now for maybe less than half a million. So there's obviously a player in there, good age, 23, gives us more options up front. Whether it means that if he's coming in that one of my off-scale looks away, I hope not. But main thing for me is we need more creativity in the squad. Apart from Leighton Clarkson, see when you're playing wing-backs, that's your only creativity. Or you're expecting Duke to create something out of nothing. And I think if you're playing in domestically against maybe your likes of Ross County, or Livingston, teams that will maybe kind of play with a low block and you maybe have more of the ball, you need a bit more. You need to have the option of playing wingers, and Robson just does not seem to like wingers. Which means I think Bezzy will probably be away before the window goes. But I don't see him being involved. But we'll see. We got a draw. We're in a good chance of in the second leg against Harkin. I think we can get a job done. I don't think it'll be as easy as last time we played them at home in Europe, when we kind of managed to beat them so convincingly. But I think we can get through. And then you're going into Europa League, which will be definitely a tough test. You look at the kind of clubs that we kind of potentially get. But when Aberdeen, like Hearts did last year, they're guaranteed European football regardless of what happens on Thursday. I think it's massive. Hopefully maybe you can kind of reinvest in the squad and then build something further. So we move on to the weekend action. Briefly. No, Michael, you said no.
Is that the time already, John? I've got work in the morning.
It wasn't much work from Celtic on Saturday, was it?
No, it wasn't much shots on target either. Celtic have failed to score back-to-back in back-to-back games since 2018, and fun enough, that manager was Brendan Rodgers as well. Something went far wrong on Saturday. I don't know where to start with that performance. I mean, well done to St Johnstone by coming to Selkie Park and kind of like defending well. But from a Celtic point of view, like you're playing against the bottom of the league. I've tips that Johnson could go down this season. They failed to get out the group stages of the League Cup 2 seasons in a row, and we've actually failed to beat them at home as well. I thought it would have been a banana skin if the game was away, but obviously the banana skin was at Selkirk Park on Saturday. And to be honest, yeah, I mean, Celtic did have a couple of chances, like Kyogo and Hatzibanovic, in the first half. But the second half, I think the St. George's goalkeeper was sitting beside me, actually, because he had nothing to do.
A couple of saves from Matt O'Reilly, didn't he? Apart from that, yeah, that was about it.
Matt O'Reilly, I don't want to think harsh on him because I like O'Reilly when they come in, but he's not been the same player than he was when they came in, when Postecoglou brought him in. And I mean, he didn't finish the season very well either, because I mean, I thought, okay, he scored the few goals against Aberdeen and Ross County the other week, and I thought, yeah, okay, that's going to give him a kick up the backside to drive on now and stuff like that. But it's not really been the same player for a wee while now.
So at the moment, who's the biggest miss for you, right? Because you've got a few out. You've got Carter Vickers. You've got Hatate. And
Definitely
all.
Carter Vickers at the back. I mean, you saw it. Yeah, I mean, you saw it last season. And especially that game that Charlie's team beat us 4-2 at Easter Road. And you saw it then as well. I don't know that there's something really missing in the Celtic team at the moment in the midfield.
Well, Hatate is injured. And then obviously Aaron Moy was so good at the second half of last season. So your midfield, you're talking there's two out of three not there. Obviously you've lost Yota, which is basically, I don't know if folk are like basketball fans, but you get your double doubles. He's like assists and goals. It's not just one or the other. That's a massive miss. I thought Leo Abada would step up for you, but so far, it's the early days in the season. He's not done it as yet. By the looks of it, Haksabanovic is playing his ticket out because going by his social media post.
Yeah. As soon as one of the guys sent me that on the group chat yesterday, and as soon as you see that, you're like that. Oh no, there's got to be like a divide in the dressing room or whatever, and that's not what you want to see, especially when we're going into the Glasgow Derby next week and the Champions League games as well. Going back to what you were saying, yeah, we're missing Aaron Moy as well. I mean, I've said for a few weeks, especially the game against Kilmarnock, we're missing the Tom Rogic. Some get could shoot outside the box because at the moment, we're playing. I think we're playing walking football at the moment and trying to walk the ball and the goals. But yeah, I mean, look, I mean, we've got, a five-a-side team out at the moment, but I mean, come on, there's enough there to beat Kilmarnock away and St. Johnstone at the bottom of the table. And I know Brendan Rodgers and Ake, a certain extent after the game, could say that the game shouldn't be played on the Plaskett Park. We all know that, but I mean, come on, they're professional football players. They go out and do a job. You could play in any kind of park, Yeah, it's. I
You
mean,
noticed that in his press conference
we'll
after
come
the
to it.
match, Michael, that he was basically alluding to the fact that it was a pitch. As you say,
Yep.
you can't put it
No.
down at the pitch.
Yep.
The quality is just not there for Celtic at the moment.
No,
Something's
I
not
mean,
right.
yeah, and I know that there's a big kind of come down from Postecoglou. Look, I'm still annoyed at how he left and how he kind of lied to the Celtic fans and all that. And now when you see him at Tottenham, he's a brilliant manager, and the Tottenham fans are shouting his name. I just call that two-faced. And perfect example, when you're a perfectly good manager in Scotland, you're going to exist when you go down to England, oh, he's a brilliant manager and all that. But the level of performance has it came down a few notches since last season as well. And I mean, we'll get there, but I mean, it's just, yeah, it's just disappointing.
Josh, you maybe recall this from Saturday night. I had a few drinks, and I don't know whether you had maybe as well, but we had quite a good discussion on Saturday night about the situation at Celtic just now, and obviously Brendan Rodgers being back. Do you think Brendan Rodgers' heart's in it, or is it just a case of Celtic was the only job that was available for him because no one else was interested at the time?
My opinion, either latter. I mean, you see Brendan Rodgers and his play. I haven't watched Celtic this season at all. I've watched the highlights from the sports scene, but I don't watch their games ever. The only time I really watch them is when we're playing them, and obviously I watch the highlights. But I mean, you see Brendan Rodgers, his face is tripping him all the time. He doesn't look like he's. I think he's. It looks like a guy who decided he didn't like it and he made it Celtic after he felt like he didn't get backed by the board, right? And whatever level of backing I think he felt that he didn't get, I think he needs to actually realise where he is at times, right? But anyway, so he jumped ship as soon as the first kind of Premier League club came available. He's been sacked and he's looking for a job. Celtic was an easy option. He's came back and I think he's came back to basically the same situation that he was in before, and he's not realised that when he's took the job. It doesn't look like he's digging it at all.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, Josh, right, and you'll be the same. If I can arrange this man coming back, like I wouldn't be happy with Roger coming back. But obviously, if you're a football fan, journalist, call me what you wear, you've still got to support the guy. But it's a bit worrying as well, because when Postecoglou came in, his signings were done before the end of that season. Now it's back to the old days where we're scraping about to get a few players in, and it's not kind of right as well. But I mean, I will support the guy. But I mean, obviously, I don't know if you guys have heard of this, but like Postecoglou was talking to Tottenham away last April, and the Celtic didn't know until the day that we left Giga League against Aberdeen at home, and apparently there was a bit of a kind of fight in the director's box. Well, not a fight, but works is kind of like being said as well. And that's so disappointing how that kind of like panned out as well. But when I heard that, and I think back to when we played Rangers in the, what was it, the League Cup final, Josh, the semi-final, and Brendan Rodgers was there. So it makes me think that he's been actually sniffing about for Celtic for a wee while, just because he's out of job and he wants to come back in and all that. I mean, listen, I still don't forgive him how he left Celtic. And I mean, because he left and they left us in the shit. I mean, we were playing Hibs in the quarterfinal of the Scottish Cup. We played Hearts in the league, and Neil Lennon came in and saved the Titanic from going under. But like, I mean, if you're that big a Celtic man, like, I don't think you would leave us out to dry halfway through a season. But again, it's back to what we were saying, John. Like, money talks.
Aye. I mean, nah, you need to get over Ange being away, because he's not coming back. Oh, you never know, maybe because Brendan's back. But in terms of Rodgers being back, the style of play doesn't seem to be the same as what it was the first time around. Because I know you guys going about Ange, but Rodgers was in his first spell at Celtic. It was pretty much impossible at Celtic.
I think that's like Folker gets short memories, right? About Rodgers is Celtic before Ange Postecoglou. Rodgers is Celtic under, when he first came around, were absolutely brilliant. They were absolutely, we couldn't get near them. I mean, granted, it was a different Rangers back then. We were just up in the league, and that's there was all sorts of issues that we had at the time as why we couldn't get near Celtic, right? But I mean, that Celtic team were absolutely exquisite. And what he did with that Celtic team is what he'd done at Liverpool when he went in there. He took existing players and made them better. And he's been in at Celtic for a few months now. Does they seem to have done that? He actually seems to have made the players worse.
That would be, yeah.
Maeda, oof, he's came right out my fantasy team, by the way. He was in for the start, but came right out. Hatate's not getting a sniff.
He's injured,
You know,
Hatate.
and
That's why he goes.
sorry.
Hatate's injured.
Aye, but even when he's been fit, he's been sitting on the bench, hasn't he? Turnbull's picked over him. Aye. And Turnbull, so I you know, he's come in and he's put Turnbull in, he's kept brought Turnbull out of the cold and put him in. And I personally feel that would be a player that you would be looking for Brendan Rodgers to kind of improve and, bring him right back in and get him right back up to speed. And actually, I mean, he's not looked great, he's looked okay. But he's not looked like what it's not like it's not looked like what Brendan Rodgers did when he came into Celtic the first time.
Yeah, no, you're right. The kind of drop off of the performances as night and day compared to last season. And I don't know about you, John, because obviously we played you guys the other week, and Aberdeen played well, and Celtic were not the best, and we kind of won that kind of game. But yeah, so far, kind of slow, passive football going back the way, and very kind of the way Ange got us playing last season, totally different football too. It's night and day compared to Ange ball, as they call it. Spurs fans probably call it now because they're maybe two-faced, but that's enough me bitching there. But you're right, Joseph, football's a bit. I don't want to say the football's boring, but it is. It's not very exciting at the moment. Hopefully they'll pick up on Saturday, but I guess feel as though that the Rangers fans might have a bit of a bounce because it's at home and there's no Celtic fans getting in again, and because of that defeat by Kamark, and now I felt that a defeat against Johnson, by the way. That's how bad it was. I'll be a big test for Celtic against Saturday, and I know a lot of Celtic fans are feeling Sunday for the very first time for a few seasons, because obviously when you go into these kind of games, especially under Postecoglou, whether it's Ibrox, Parker, you're about like, oh yeah, we'll win and dominate the game, but nothing like that the now draw. So yeah, it's going to be a very interesting game. But Rangers haven't been in great shakes either at the moment. But I think the differences between Rangers and Celtic is Rangers finds a way to win. Especially at Ross County at the weekend as well, on a very difficult park pass.
See, out of interest, earlier on you asked the question, have Rangers had a 90-minute performance yet? Are you worried that that 90-minute performance is going to come on Sunday?
I hope not. I've probably put the kibosh on now. But look, I mean, if Rangers play Giggs and start against Giggs at Johnson, aye, because Celtic were woeful from start to finish, and maybe that's me being a bit harsh and a bit critical, but that, I mean, listen, these games can make or break players, as Josh would well know. Like, Rangers has debuted some players in the past when they come at Parkhead or go to Ibrox. It's going to be a very difficult game, but yeah, Celtic's going to be in a month as well. And I'm very surprised that the captain, Cameron McGregor, I mean, it's not a lot of times I've said this on the podcast, as we're talking about Celtic of Scotland, but he doesn't seem like the same player than he was when Postecoglou was there, and that's like your captain. He's been given balls away very cheaply.
I mean, if you touch on the fact that Sunday there'll be a lot of players making their debut probably in that type of match. Rangers side, what you get, Butland, maybe Lammers, Dessers, maybe Danilo. Juventus, so quite a few. And then the Celtic side, you're going to have a makeshift defence. But the boy Lagerbäck be making his kind of first start. Then you've got the kind of players that have been coming in, the likes of Yang. It's a hard one to call, but I would say for the first time in a while, maybe a Rangers favourites, as you say, Michael. I don't know what you think, Charlie. You've obviously been tipping Rangers for the league.
I think it'll be a. I'm looking forward to watching it as a neutral. Always enjoy games between the two. I think Rangers will take the game to Celtic. I think it'll be a nervy game for both sets of fans, but I think, I don't know, there's something about Rangers this season that I think they'll win most, if not all, the old firms. I just think they're a settled unit, whereas Celtic are still in the market for, if the rumours are to believe, they're still looking for three or four, which for Celtic champions, treble winners, they shouldn't be running this close to the window being shut. I think Rangers have been tactical with their buys this summer, especially with Kent and Morelos leaving. I know they've not replaced Kent other than Matondo potentially, but and obviously they've brought in a few attackers, but I think Rangers are probably a more complete unit than Celtic. Now, had Celtic not had all these injuries, I think it'd be a closer game, but I think Rangers will edge it.
I think you're right, Charlie, in terms of like we're going into the last few days of the window, and like you've maybe got to go back to the Neil Lennon days where like Celtic get scrambled about the last minute to get even two players or one player in. You know, I can't remember the last time that was, but yeah, I mean you're right in terms of like. You know, the signing policy when Postecoglou came in, he'd done that before the end of the season so that you know what to go into the next season and your team's kind of like settled. But yeah, it's going to be interesting and it's going to be a wake up call for some of the Celtic guys to make their debut. But I mean, listen. Players might make their debut for Celtic or Rangers and be a standout. You know, these games can make or break players. It's a bit like when Hearts play Hibs or vice versa in the league or the cup games as well. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting game.
Confident going into it, Josh?
Never confident going into an Old Firm, but Celtic aren't in a good place. We're not in a particularly great place, actually, ourselves either. I do think Charlie makes a really good point. I think we were quite kind of smart with our business this summer, got a lot of it done early, brought in hundreds of players, you know, brought in, what, nine players, you know, released or got rid of. A number now, you know, Hadji's just went out the door on loan the day, and by all accounts, it looks as if that's going to be a permanent, you know, I think as if that's it for him, which I'm raging about. Yesterday, I should say. I do remember John last season at one point getting absolutely slagged rotten by you, might have been Chris, might have been Scott McGill. When I suggested that Rangers would have money to spend in the summer, and I got absolute pelters for you three. Might have been you three. I know you were definitely amongst the co-conspirators. So get it up you on that one. I think specifically, actually, you were slagging me because I was saying that we were going to be saving a lot of money on Kent Morelos' wages. So let's just get that one running, you know. But specifically on the football. I never confident going into an Old Firm, but I do think we are in a better place going into it. But come Sunday, It's a footballing entity of itself, so it will speak for itself. And players in the Celtic team that do know what it's all about will be getting their players up for it, and vice versa with their players. So we'll see how it goes. Taking, like I said earlier, if we take 3 points this weekend, that could light a spark. That could really, really light a spark in this team. And I just don't feel that if Celtic got 3 points against us this weekend, that they would get the same kind of jolt. I don't know why I think that. It just feels like that right now. So all we play for, but I'm not calling it either. I mean, obviously, I'm always going to say my team's going to win, right? I'm backing my team. I think we'll win, right? But I'm not going to say that I'm confident, because I never am when it comes to an offer.
I mean, the thing from a neutral point of view is like knowing that Celtic are going to have this makeshift defence, that centre back pairing, that's straight away you're targeting that. I mean, I think that's.
Stranger things have happened, though, John. I remember, I mean, we were talking about potential Hibs managers, and one that came up was, well, do we think that Reece McCabe could be the Hibs manager? We spoke about him earlier. And I remember 2011 or 12, when Celtic were coming to Ibrox to win the league, and we were really struggling. We had to chuck a 18, 19-year-old Reece McCabe in at centre mid, and he absolutely ran Celtic ragged. He was like Barry Ferguson. So, you know, stranger things have happened. You can chuck players in and they can have the game of their life. So,
Josh,
yeah, we'll see.
I was just going to ask you, because I've not been on a pod with you for a wee while, but like the last time you beat us at Ibrox in the last game of the season, and when you listen to a lot of Rangers fans on Twitter or at school, every time I say Twitter now, people remind me it's called X. So actually, I'm going out with my ex when I'm on X, and Rangers fans says, "I well, we've got one up on them, and we're going into next season's Old Firm game and buoyant." But I mean, I don't know about Charlie and John here, but I mean, I guess those old Rangers fans are throwing a real disrespect to other teams in the league. I mean, look what happened to us on Saturday against St. Johnstone, and then look for you what happened to you guys when you went up to Aberdeen 2-0. So really, what I'm trying to say here is, it's not really getting the full from games. It's against like teams like St. Johnstone, Livingston, Ross County as well, you know. And I just feel as though that the Rangers fans, okay, maybe you're happy over the moon and all that, but you've still got other games to play, and you've got to win these other games to win the league. You just can't beat Celtic and say, "Oh, aye, we've won the league."
I agree with you to a certain extent, Michael. But over the course of the season, you know, there's a reason that Southern Rangers have got so much money, more money than everybody else. And generally speaking, right, except for exceptional seasons, it really does they come down to more than 12 points between the two teams. So what we can say then is that it usually does come down at the Old Firms, really. I mean, over the course of the season, you know, we should be winning the if you take out the Old Firm games completely, we should be winning the league, right? You know, that's an absolute. I mean, look at what did I say about this League Cup the other day, John? Right? If we don't go on and win this League Cup now that Celtic are out, it is an embarrassment, because we are the wealthiest team in the League Cup by an absolute mile. By any metric, we should be winning it. I'm not saying we're going to win it, right? What I'm saying is, if we don't win it, it is an embarrassment, because we should be winning it. I think, and the way that the league is going to be this season, the way that both Rangers and Celtic are this season, I think it is going to come down to single-digit points. So these Old Firms are absolutely vital, right? And the way I gauge our league season on is in relation to how many points we are from Celtic. So right now, I don't see us as on seven, no, 6 points, aren't we? No, eight, nine, six, aye, six. I don't, aye, six, so take her on seven. I don't see us as on 6 points. I see us as on -1 point, because we're 1 point behind Celtic, and we need to be in plus. We need to be in +2 after this Sunday. Because come the end of the season, doesn't matter the fact that if Motherwell or St Mirren or whoever win their game this weekend, they're going to be top of the league, right? We know that at the end of the season, it's going to be either Rangers or Celtic that's going to be the top of the league, right? And the only thing I care about is where we are in relation to the other half of the Old Firm.
Aye, but what I kind of meant there was, like, you know, that you don't play Celtic every week and talk about Parkhead or Ibrox as well. I just feel as though that you're confident about a football fan going into every season saying I will win the league, because if you're right, George, I mean, if you finish second, that's you basically relegated, basically, you know, bottom of the table, because it's a two-horse race. But I guess, although it's a bit disrespectful when Aberdeen beat season, and basically you're saying, well, you know, it doesn't matter, we're going to make up for it against Celtic in the league or whatever. I guess maybe it's just me, but I guess feel as though that's a bit, I don't know about John or Charlie what they think, but I guess feel as though it's a bit disrespectful for us to sit here and say, well, it's going to come down to the four firm games and that's it.
I mean, I don't know whether Charlie would agree with me, but obviously Charlie and me are known from fans, but from the outside, we would always see it as there's an arrogance about Celtic and Rangers. However, as Josh alludes to there, there's a reason for that arrogance, and that's because you are expected to win every week. The demands of the fans are that you win. If you lose an Old Firm game, it wouldn't matter whether there's 30 points between you, that's a disaster. We're talking about Celtic just now, which is crazy. The fact, okay, you're out of the cup and you've dropped points in the league, but it's two games. There's still a lot of quality in that Celtic side. I dare say as well, there's every chance you're winning Sunday, much as we're saying just now, Rangers are probably favourites. Potentially, as a neutral, it's a nice position to be in, that we're going to see it, that it's not just going to be Celtic running away with things, because you've won that many trebles over the last few years. Now, I'm not saying I want Rangers to win the league or anything, but you maybe want it to be a bit more interesting. From our point of view as well, I think we see it as Celtic and Rangers are maybe not quite as good this season, and there's potential to drop points, and we can maybe kind of pick up points against you. If St Johnson can do it at Parkhead, though I've seen a start, was it St Johnson have won the most points at Parkhead since 2009, apart from Rangers, I think it was, 11 points. So maybe a bit of a kind of bogey team there. Obviously, Josh, opening day of the season, Rangers dropped points at Kilmarnock, looked off it. I think much as Rangers have signed a lot of new players, at the moment Bielog still be trying to find out what his best team is, but on the flip side of that, there's more, Rangers have more options this season and players that want to be there. A big problem, and we spoke about this a lot last year, Morelos just didn't look interested. Ryan Kent, I don't think, was particularly interested either. I think Rangers are a wee bit unlucky with injuries at centre-back. They couldn't get a kind of settled centre-back partnership. And McGregor was probably played a season too much. I will say, though, and I put this question to some of you at the end, before the end of last season, things can change very quickly when it comes to Rangers and Celtic. And a lot of people at that point were like, no, Celtic are miles ahead, there's no chance.
Yeah,
Things change very quickly. We might be seeing the start of a change. Because I'm not convinced Beale's the right answer at Rangers. I don't know. You're maybe not totally convinced, but maybe a bit like when Ange came to Celtic, Rangers fans can see that Beale has a bit of thinking, a bit of process, a bit of tactical know-how, and maybe kind of see that maybe we can do it, especially the fact that the injuries that Celtic have got just now. And I don't say there's no way Celtic know what the best team is.
I mean, John, the point I'm trying to make about the points, right? Just for clarity's sake, right? Is I'm no taking the games that we're playing against every other team in the league for granted, right? But what I'm saying is that I want to make sure that we've got a healthy balance of points ahead of Celtic, right? For when those games come around where we drop points against other teams in the league, we have a cushion. Right, because I know on probability, see if we get to a point where we're 10 points ahead of Celtic, right? on balance, we are probably going to win the league, right? Because on odds of probability, it would be very difficult for Celtic to claw back 10 points, right? Over, depending on when, what time of the year it is, right? Because on odds, we're going to win the overwhelming majority of games. We'll probably only lose, excluding Old Firm games, we'll maybe lose two or three games this season. You know, Kelly was one of them. And I don't think that's arrogance. I think that's realism about what you expect to your team, particularly when it comes down to budgets. There, we've went out and spent 10 or 12 million on our playing squad. You know, no other team in the league apart from Celtic can do that. And that's just, that's the nature. I wish it wasn't like that. I wish it was more competitive in our league, and I wish it wasn't a two horse race every year. But that's what our league is, and until there's some sort of solution, that's what it's going to be.
But did you know, I know you were saying about 10 points there, but could you not throw away a 10-point lead? I know I'm going back years ago now, but like, were you not 10 points ahead or something, George, and we won the league? And I think we scattered that one that run up in Inverness. I can't remember who the managers were at the time.
Was that the season that Gerard left?
No. I'm talking about. Might be going back to McCoy's. I'm not actually sure.
I thought it was another
Was
something
that?
quite recent
Was that?
whereby Rangers were
Was
about
that this?
10 points ahead.
No,
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 I think
no, no.
was it known 3 or 9 or something like that when Gerard left, we were ahead, and then the McCoy's one you're thinking about, Michael. Was that not the season we get deducted 10 points? And
No,
we get
no,
put down to
no.
third division.
No. I'm sure. I need to check out, Josh, but I'm sure you were 10 points ahead, and the end you got one in the league. I can't remember what season that was now.
I'll take your word for it.
That's by the by, anyway. So sorry.
We'll see what happens anyway, but it's an interesting contest on Sunday, I think. But are you confident, Michael?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a bit like Josh. I mean, you've got to be confident going into these games. These games can make you or break you, and it's just a pity that if we win on Sunday, we've got 2 weeks before the next game. For some reason, they always pick the Celtic Rangers game before Scotland game. Don't know why that is. But I would say, I'm going to say 2-1 Celtic.
Right, okay. Josh.
2-0 Rangers.
No, Rangers. Charlotte.
3-2 Rangers.
Few goals, isn't it? A few goals, right, okay. We kind of did say that we were going to kind of talk about the weekend action, but I don't think we will now. We kind of spoke a wee bit about it during some of the chats that we've had about clubs already, anyway. Scotland squad was announced today. We'll go into a bit more detail next week because we'll preview the Cyprus game. But very quickly, pleasing Patterson back in the squad because he was called up originally for the previous squad but had to pull out for an injury. McKenna's back, which gives extra options at centre back. And Shea Adams is back in the squad. Possibly Shea Adams might be getting a move back to the Premier League as well. I think there's some clubs interested, which would be a good thing. And then the big one. Because there was some debate whether who was going to commit his future to is Elliot Anderson of Newcastle. Is announced in the squad, committed his future, and adds to an already strong part of this team in the midfield. And you can never have too many options, so that's a good thing. But as I say, we will talk about that in more detail next week. Did any of you come up with a good headline from the weekend action? Josh.
I've got one, mate. I've got a headline about the weekend. I'm just gonna tell you where it is right now. So this is my so my headline is this: friend first, boss second, probably an entertainer third. Scottish football's David Brent finally gets his redundancy.
Josh, right. I like it, but a headline is usually a bit shorter. Yours
One,
is
two, three. One, two, three. Then a subhead. Then a subtext headline.
All right, okay. Mine was Hibs get their Johnson out. It was obviously the American term for Johnson. You know what it is. I thought so, Charlie. You've got a wee smile for that one. Charlie, did you come up with something?
Aye, Lee's gone, son.
Aye, right, okay.
Lee's gone, son.
Michael. Is that good? You're on mute.
Yeah, was that a good guy? I kind of mute myself because I can make up there. But yeah, I mean, I was just thinking, thank God Josh is not a journalist or maybe writes headlines because, the headlines would fit the paper and the story would be inside. Anyway, I was going to say, but Saint since on Saturday at Celtic Park, but that's worse than Josh's headline, so. I'll maybe just mute myself again.
Aye, probably for the best, Michael. Aye.
Night.
I think that's covered everything. I will say though that thanks as always to Supernova Terraceware for sponsoring the Fantasy Football League. They are back live on the website. Lots of new products, some windbreakers, some sweatshirts, overshirts, and all sorts. So get yourself on there, have a look. The link will be on the blog for the podcast, but just search Supernova Terraceware, and you will see the products that are there, ideal for your terraceware, going to football. So, on that note, thanks, Charlie, for coming back on.
No worries, mate. It seems like every time I'm on, I'm twiddling with the idea of sacking a manager. So hopefully the next one's consistent.
Hi, Michael. Good to have you on as well.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me, and nice to see Charlie again. It's been a while, and it's been a while, Josh, as well. But come on, Celtic.
Josh, pleasure as always for us too.
Yes, mate, pleasure, and I will hopefully return a happy man in the Scotland preview next week after an Old Firm win.
Yeah, I think we've got some special guests as well for the Scotland preview, so all will be revealed closer through the time. But on that note, thank you and happy football.
Happy football.